This is Audible.
Caiaphas Cain, For the Emperor, by Sandy Mitchell. Read by Stephen Perring, Penelope Rawlins, and Emma Gregory.
Editorial note. What, for want of a better phrase, I will henceforth be referring to as the Cain Archive is, in truth, barely deserving of so grandiloquent a title. It consists merely of a single data slate, stuffed full of files arranged with a cavalier disregard for chronology, and to no scheme of indexing that I've been able to determine, despite prolonged examination of the contents. What can be stated with absolute certainty, however, is that the author was none other than the celebrated Commissar Caiaphas Cain, and that the archive was written by him during his retirement while serving as a tutor at the Scholar Progenium. This would pin the date of composition to some time after his appointment to the faculty in 993.M41. From occasional references to his published memoirs, To Serve the Emperor, A Commissar's Life, which first saw the light of day in 005.M42, we can safely conclude that he was inspired by the process of writing them to embark on a fuller account of his experiences, and that the bulk of the archive was composed no earlier than this. His motives for so doing, we can only guess at, since publication would have been impossible. Indeed, I placed them under inquisitorial seal the moment they came to light, for reasons which should be immediately apparent to any attentive reader. Nevertheless, I believe they are worthy of further study. Some of my fellow inquisitors may be shocked to discover that one of the Imperium's most venerated heroes was, by his own admission, a scoundrel and self-seeking rogue. A fact which, due to our sporadic personal association, I have long been aware. Indeed, I would go so far as to contend that it was this very combination of character flaws which made him one of the most effective servants the Imperium has ever had, despite his strenuous efforts to the contrary. For, in his century or more of active service to the Commissariat, and occasional less visible activities at my behest, he faced and bested almost every enemy of humanity. Necrons, Tau, Tyranids, and Orcs, Eldar, both free of taint and corrupted by the ruinous powers, and the demonic agents of those powers themselves. Reluctantly, it must be admitted, but in many cases repeatedly, and always with success. A record few, if any, more noble men can equal. In fairness, it should also be pointed out here that Cain is his own harshest critic, often going out of his way to deny that the many instances in which he appears, despite his professed baser motives, to have acted primarily out of loyalty and altruism, were any such thing. It would be ironic, indeed, if his awareness of his shortcomings should have blinded him to his own, admittedly often well-hidden, virtues. It is also worth reflecting that if, as is often asserted, courage consists not of the absence of fear but the overcoming of it, Cain does indeed richly deserve his heroic reputation, even if he always steadfastly denied the fact. However much we may deplore his professed moral shortcomings, his successes are undeniable, and we can be thankful that Cain's own account of his checkered career has at last been discovered. To say the least, these memoirs shed new light on many of the odder corners of recent imperial history, and his eyewitness accounts of our enemies contain many valuable, if idiosyncratic, insights into understanding and confounding their dark designs. It is for this reason that I preserved the archive and have spent a considerable amount of leisure time in the years since its discovery, editing and annotating it, in an attempt to make it more accessible to those of my fellow inquisitors who may wish to peruse it for themselves. Cain appears to have no overall structure in mind, simply recording incidents from his past as they occurred to him, and, as a result, many of the anecdotes are devoid of context. He has a disconcerting habit of beginning in media res, and many of the shorter fragments end abruptly, as his own part in the events he is describing comes to a conclusion. I have therefore chosen to begin the process of dissemination with his account of the Gravelax campaign, which is reasonably coherent, and with which the members of our Ordo will be at least passingly familiar as a result of my own involvement in the affair. Indeed, it contains an account of our first meeting from Cain's perspective, which I must admit I found rather amusing when I first stumbled across it. For the most part, the archive speaks for itself, although I have taken the liberty of breaking up the long and unstructured account into relatively self-contained chapters to facilitate reading. The quotations preceding them are something of an indulgence on my part, having been culled from a collection of such sayings compiled by Cain himself for the apparent amusement and edification of the cadets in his charge. But I justify this as perhaps providing an additional insight into the workings of his mind. Apart from this, I have confined myself to occasional editorial interpolations where I considered it necessary to place Cain's somewhat self-centered narrative into a wider context. Unless otherwise attributed, all such annotations are my own, and I have been otherwise content to let his own words do the work. Amberley Vale, Ordo Xenos.